in the Auckland studio to Radar and Irene Pank. Morena.
Morena.
Kia ora.
And welcome also to Kennedy Warne.
He's here too.
I get a separate welcome.
You get a Christmas. Separate welcome because you're technically not in the comedian segment. You're actually in the poet segment today.
Got it. I'll try to remember that.
Yes. Yes. Normally you were somewhere wild and wonderful. Where were you last year? You were somewhere exotic.
Seychelles, I think.
That's right.
Yeah.
My God.
Sent you a message from Cosmoledo.
You've still got the tan, actually. Your Seychelles tan and your floral shirt.
Floral shirt.
What colour are the Crocs this year?
Dark blue, very subdued, but I am wearing the stripy socks to offset the decorous blue.
His bike helmet does match his shirt, though.
And the Tongan shirt. Yeah. Got to have that. Love that.
Do you wear socks with Crocs? Is that a thing?
No, I just decided on the spur of the moment that it was necessary for the comedy segment.
You can get little attachments for Crocs, eh? You can get like little attachments that you stick in the holes. Yeah, it's like a thing.
What do you mean?
It's like a thing now. They're like little...
Like bottle openers?
You buy them. But you buy little jewels and little, you know, knickknacks.
What, to plug up the holes?
Yeah.
Why don't you just buy
like
shoes?
Flare.
It's to make them uglier.
Yeah.
Well, now that we've had the...
I'm in for that.
Now that we've had the haute couture segment, let's move on to some beautiful live singing because we're always so spoilt, rotten by this. A massive pleasure to welcome back to the Wellington studio again the members of Nota Bene Choral Choir, who will sing some festive music for us right throughout the hour. With me now is director Micah Christie Beekman. Kia ora and welcome.
Morena Catherine, how are you?
I am really good. I'm getting better by the minute.
That's good.
because I think we're all ready for a good break, but it's always such a joy to hear this beautiful singing live on Christmas Eve. It's really special. Do you want to introduce the team?
Yeah, we can call a choir a team. Absolutely. Well, it's such a privilege to be back in the studio here again and sing for you. We are actually nice and cosy in the studio because we've got 14 members here of the choir. And so four sopranos, Melinda, Katie, Tina and Jenny, the altos Jackie, Linda, Mary and Virginia, and then tenors Patty, Sean, Francesco and basses Chris, Peter and Terry.
Wow, we've got the real-time image up already, I think.
Yeah.
There's an image on screen, and just to let you know, the singers are in what's called the drama studio, so they get the A-grade acoustics down there, plus it's a bit crowded in here.
But it's nice and warm, it's lovely.
Wonderful. look, why don't we kick off and begin this hour with a beautiful carol. What's the first one you have for us?
Yeah, so we're going to sing Ding Dong Merrily on High for you, so a lovely traditional carol.
Ding dong, merrily on high, in heaven the bells are ringing. Ding dong, merrily the sky is ringing with angels singing. Gloria, hosanna in excelsis. Let steeple bells be swung, and be o, by priests and people sung. Hosanna in excelsis. Chimey ring, yes. May you beautifully rhyme your eve-time song, ye singers.
Nota Bene live with Ding Dong Merrily on High, and they'll be back with us throughout the hour as well. Thanks very much, guys. Everyone was doing their heads with that particular Christmas carol. Your heads kind of does this, you know, it's almost like conducting movement, doesn't it? It bobbles. I bet you were doing it in Auckland too, weren't you?
We were.
Yeah. Amongst discussing food.
Yes. Raylo wants to eat a whole chicken.
That's my goal for the year. I suddenly realised I haven't achieved my goal.
Mm.
Yeah.
Haven't you done it yet?
No, but there's still time.
Yeah, if I can get a week.
If I can get through the turkey in the next few days, then perhaps I'll. Perhaps New Year's I'll.
A poultry challenge for you.
A poultry challenge.
But then we thought it's the poet. That's why Kennedy's here.
But then we thought we'd up it, and he could do a tadakan, which is the turkey with the duck stuffed inside it.
Yes.
Was it? And then there's a pigeon stuffed inside the duck, isn't there?
Yeah,
yes, and a budgie stuffed.
Well, I've got a lot of exotic birds out where we are, but I'm not sure that we can eat them. I was just saying to Kenny, we've got kookaburra and cockatoos or some kind of
stuff
white,
those at each other and then eat that. Lovely.
Laughing kookaburra.
Only humans could invent that, couldn't they?
So gross, eh?
Only humans could come up with, I'm not just going to have one bird, I'm not just going to have one animal, I'm going to stuff one inside another one, then inside one, then inside another one.
Yeah.
And tie it all up and then eat it at Christmas.
Wouldn't you just end up getting a whole lot of bones? It's eventually at some point. You're just cutting into bones, really. Yummy.
I think we should.
I quail at the thought.
Got quail as well, actually. Quail.
Yeah. Kenny's here for the poetry and the bad puns. We need to go to Tauranga and welcome Sam Ackerman. Good morning.
Good morning. Merry Christmas.
Same to you. We were just wondering if you were going to have one of those ultimate sort of 2020 experiences and the kids were going to wander in during the cross
Be prepared. And we have all three at home at once, and the concept of them spending an entire hour without demanding something of me is pretty rare. And it's for us, we celebrate Christmas today. For my wife is Swedish and Hungarian ancestry, so it's a tradition to today's Christmas Day. So in their mind, they're demanding Santa. So it's all go, and then we hit the road and do the Kiwi Christmas tomorrow. So yeah, Christmas is a movable feast for us, and sometimes I wonder if it's the smartest thing. It goes into a bit of. They go a bit crazy, obviously. I call it psychohosis, but they really start to lose it.
Get it down.
I can't believe we're gate crashing your Christmas Day. It's too late.
No,
now.
Listen. RNZ is a big part of our whānau, and we love being given a chance to speak to you and represent the mighty Tauranga every week. And let's face it, Catherine, you and I were doing distance conversations before it was cool. You know, we were all over the Zooms and the Skypes well before. The rest of the world decided to jump on board this year.
We just didn't bother with the annoying little up close nostril kind of visual side of stuff, did we? We just
I think that's wise.
Your little baby too. How old?
Yeah, lockdown baby. She is 8 months. Turned 8 months just a couple of days ago now. So yeah, we're born smack bag in the middle of it all with a wonderful home birth, and here in the house we moved into during lockdown, which is again great fun. I really recommend it. If we go through more lockdowns, I suggest everybody in the country tries to find a way to move with police stops everywhere you go and everyone looking at you like you're a criminal because you're moving your family into a house that's big enough to home birth into.
So sorry. Are you telling me, and I don't know this at the time, are you telling me that you moved into a house and had a baby during lockdown?
Yeah, number three. Yeah, it's good times.
But you sounded so calm at the time.
Yeah, well, after you have a couple, you start to lose track, Catherine. You know, it's just about a short head count, and sometimes you might get the cat instead of a child, and when you walk out the door, but it's okay. It was a stressful time for everybody, so it wasn't worth complaining.
So when people do that, oh, I made sado, and I took up crochet, and I took up yoga, you can go, oh, I moved house, had a kid, did my life crosses into RNZ.
We had a phone call from a mate going, oh, this is just agonising. We said, you don't have children. It's you and your girlfriend, and you get 2 weeks. You're saying that you don't have to do anything for 2 weeks. Work's not expecting anything of you. Most people call that a holiday. Shush.
See, now it's coming out.
Look, everybody did it tough. Some people, I think, need to remember that if you it didn't really affect your life too much, it's just you couldn't go out to a cafe, then you didn't do it as tough as others. And look, I'm very thankful that we had what we had, and it'll be an experience we never forget. And my gorgeous little girl, Sienna, is an absolute joy and a whirlwind in a terrible way and a human paper shredder. But she is we will always remember lockdown for the fondest of reasons.
For sure. Well, you know, are we at the point almost, Irene, where we can sort of blanket out? We can't really. Mm. We're going to be dealing with the consequences for a while. But
yep,
I suppose we're talking a little bit less day to day about what we did in lockdown or what we did then or whatever.
Yeah, thank goodness. Because when we came out of that first lockdown, I was at work. When we came back into work, and everyone was sitting around, and we were talking about what are the things that we learnt about ourselves, you know, in a very deep way. And people were, I really miss my friends. I value my family a lot more, and being able to go on beautiful walks. And the only thing I could add was the thing I learnt most about myself in the first lockdown of COVID was I don't actually like lamb that much.
Lamb.
That's it. That's my deepness. I don't like lamb.
Did you just buy a whole? I cooked like it sheep, myself, basically, for the period of lockdown.
I cooked it myself and it was horrible. And then I realised I only like the lamb my mother cooks because she overcooks it. I also learnt that I don't like slow cooking because I don't like the smell of food in the house.
Oh, too annoying.
Awful.
You've got to do it especially when you
can't go out.
Yeah. You're stuck with the garlic and the lamb. It's like
maybe it's because you ate the lamb too soon because you didn't wait for it to slowly cook. You kind of went lunchtime. That'll do. No. That's fine.
I learned about myself. I don't like lamb as much as I thought I did.
Well, you're on the mend.
Did you eat a whole?
Yeah.
Was that the problem as
thank you. It wasn't a whole lamb. Thanks.
Oh, well, the whole chicken going on. I'm just wondering if there's something.
I just found the challenge. 2021 is sorted out.
I have to say, though, I'm really glad that we're not doing this on Christmas Day, for our version of Christmas Day, because I think I'd be a bit inebriated if I was doing this. A little bit.
Sam's just... Sam's a sports reporter. He knows how to, you know...
Oh, he's drunk all the time.
No, he knows how to talk the talk, no matter what the situation.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So right. I'm
hello.
Yeah, where are you at? Where are you at in your reflections of...
Oh, reflections?
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time just looking in the mirror and just thinking, oh, God, I've been a terrible person. I need to be better. No, it's pretty much business as normal for us. We worked from home and the whole thing, and I just sort of watched other people failing to cope with working from home. I got my sort of, if there is someone that sums up the year, there's a couple of people, but it was a Zoom call. You may remember this from early on in the kind of the Zoom phenomenon. There was a woman called Jennifer. She was on a call with 11 other people. And she was carrying her laptop through the house, and you thought, oh, she's mobile, she's getting things done, she's multitasking. She puts the laptop down on the floor, and the camera has in the frame the toilet, and then she puts herself onto the toilet. And if you want to sum up 2020, not a single one of the other 11 people said anything. They didn't say, hey, Jennifer, you might not want to do that. It wasn't until she realised herself. And then the best quote of the year, she quickly left the video chat.
You know what, though? That would have jazzed up a lot of my team meetings if someone had actually gone to the toilet. Yeah.
But then not only did they not stop her,
no.
Someone then went, this is great, this is gold, I'm going to put this on the internet. And
then she realised.
So really, that was 2020.
This is a lesson in multitasking and when not to do it, really,
that's
isn't
right.
it?
Yeah, very much so. I don't know if she was eating a chicken. And then, and everyone got into food. Irene didn't like lamb.
Slow cooking, rubbish.
No. Probably people invented new toasted sandwiches and various things like that. They, food hero of the year, down in Dunedin, a chap by the name of Romeo. I've got his name down
Wherefore
here somewhere.
Wherefore
art thou, Romeo, on my piece of paper. He invented, for the toasted sandwich competition. What a great competition. Mm. Very New Zealand. It was meatloaf. Made to his grandmother's recipe, meatloaf and gravy and potatoes and some pickles on a ciabatta.
It's
basically
about
everybody else.
Four different meals, isn't it? Stuffed between two pieces of bread, isn't it?
Did he have cheese on it as well?
Yes, he did, actually.
I feel like if you put melted cheese...
an aged cheddar.
I think that guy had been eating too much turducken.
Turducken, yeah.
But it basically is the turducken of toasties.
You could literally put melted cheese on dirt and it would be good. Let's be real.
Yeah. Well, yeah, bacon. Bacon on dirt.
Yeah. Cheese on dirt. Yum.
Yeah.
Kennedy, raise the standard a bit, please.
All right.
Let's come to you for your 2020 thoughts.
T.S. Eliot would be a good place to start, don't you think? Especially for someone who likes to be off the beaten track and travelling, his famous line, the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. And so for the lockdown period, that was very much what it was about, staying where we'd started. And for many people, knowing the place for the first time, finding those little green spaces that were within walking distance of our bubbles and appreciating them for the places of nourishment and solace that they are. I was casting about for the big environmental moment of 2020, but it occurred to me that perhaps the big moment was, in fact, those many small, local, dispersed moments, the rediscovery of nature, people taking up gardening and bird watching, as well as discovering their local green spaces, and restoring that ancient linkage between humans and nature, reminding us that we are a part of and not apart from. And my geographer friend Robin Kearns mentioned to me this morning, maybe that's the calling of this festive break, to slow down, to stand in the presence of something off the beaten track and consider connectedness and how we are part of this web of the world and not just the World Wide Web. Maybe that's the annunciation we all need at this time. Maybe that's the advent we should seek. So I think for a lot of us, holding on to that moment of recognition, realization, as our worlds have, you know, in many ways started back up again, holding on to that lesson, I think, is something many of us are trying to do.
You love your poetry and you've been taking some solace in it this year, I suspect. What's been some of the work you've been reading or that's meant a lot to you?
Part of the year, a major work which wasn't published this year but a few years old, but I've talked about this, Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer, and that this is about the culture of Thanksgiving, and if ever a time, or a culture of gratitude, and I think if ever a time, a good year to have read that, actually listened to it on audio, which Robin was reading it, and that was particularly lovely to hear her voice, this Native American botanist, speaking of her life and her work and the integration of her science and her cosmology, her indigenous cosmology. Very special and uplifting, and that's been big for me this year.
I'm really thinking I need to start operating on a slightly higher level.
Yeah, I still don't like lamb.
So. You've been thinking more deeply about it. She still doesn't like it.
Sam Ackerman. Kennedy's beautiful pontification. I was just going, yeah, I really don't like lamb.
I know, I'm ashamed of myself.
No.
T.S. Eliot opens for England, doesn't he? Is that he's the right-hand bat, T.S. Eliot?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes. And he's a useful medium pacer at the death as well.
Thought so.
Sam, let's talk about, because sport, I mean, this affects our sports people and our artists who, and I suppose the artists could perform at least and did through Zoom and release a lot of music, but it's hard for people to understand when you are really in the full flow of commitment to your sport, say something like the Olympics, how much of your well-being and sometimes too much of your well-being can get tied up with what you're doing. And it's been actually, at a personal level, a pretty tough year for a lot of people. I know it's not quite the same as having someone you love die of COVID or even necessarily having your business crash, but it's a big thing for what are often quite young people who know they've got an arc in time to do what they want to do, and it got ripped away from them this year.
And not to mention, for most of them, these athletes who are at that high level usually get some kind of inkling or a guidance from quite a young age. So for a lot of them, it's all they can remember and all they know is this goal of pushing for the Olympics. They're much better rounded people these days than they used to be, as far as it wasn't. They have more to their life and more options and opportunities than potentially some athletes have in the past. But still, it's your ultimate goal, and you look to peak for a certain time. Not, these guys and girls are trained to peak not at a point of a year. They aim to peak at a week, in a certain week within a year, and they spend years building up to peak at that time. And that got removed from them, you take the Olympic example, pushed back by a year. And for many, that has absolutely stuffed their run. And you've seen people retire rather than try to give another go to it because they don't think they can get their bodies where they want it to be. And psychologically, it's a blow for them as well. And the Olympics is essentially only ever disrupted by world wars. That's it. The Olympics have been cancelled three times, 1916, 1914, 1944. And there's a fair bit going on in the world at the time, right? So that's, you know, those were reasonable times to cancel it. To consider a virus, an illness, as stopping the fittest, strongest people in the world from gathering and competing, and it's forced it back by a year. And I want to say at this stage, we don't know what happens next year. It's mind-blowing to think of something that's as large in the world scale as that. And these athletes are – having to reboot their lives and push through. Some are sweet. Some go, cool, I can do that. For others, though, imagine if it was this is your peak year, as you mentioned. This was their moment. They'd been kind of kicking stones and building up to that level, but this was the year that they were comfortably placed to get a medal. Now, if that opportunity is closed or somebody else's, one of their rivals, they knew that they'd be a year ahead of. Psychologically, it's a really difficult situation. But it is just sport, but it is for them their lives.
Yeah, but also for the fans as well. Like, it was great to see that stand packed again for the first time. For a lot of people, this is a really important part of the way they connect with friends, connect with complete strangers, just get all those good buzz feelings that we need. And those empty stadiums were just weird. And just like the music festivals, just the sheer joy of being able to be back, and as Kennedy was suggesting, perhaps really appreciating it for the first time.
Yeah, look, each of us defines what makes us a New Zealander and we associate with in very different ways. And for me, I love getting out and seeing live theatre and performances. I love getting out and being amongst New Zealanders and on the beach and relax. But I also get a real sense of patriotic pride and a sense of community by attending sport events, and always have. And it means a lot to me and many other people. Having that taken away is something that it really throws you off your sense of normal, whatever that is, whether it is attending a concert or whether it is being able to go to a book club or whatever that is. When that's taken away, you realise that you might have taken some of it for granted. You wish you'd gone to some of those events or occasions that when everything is free and easy, you're kind of neglected. But what it has done is those reopening of those doors to stadiums and to, you know, not just for sports, but for concerts and the like, you can see as you enter people just looking at each other and smiling, the little knowing smiles, knowing that they're back doing what they were. It's not a case of, I'm really concerned that guy's going to get the last hot dog before I get there anymore. You
know, it's always a big deal at the stadium.
It's a big deal. Yeah. So it's been huge.
Yeah. And you two comedians, I mean, you're professionals, and like many professional performers, I mean, flip, you had the rug pulled out from under you again. But I'm curious, now that you're sort of back at these live gigs again, are you getting a different vibe? Are you getting a sense of people really appreciating what they get from you and what you give? Turn them on.
BC events, I call them, before Corona, and I was sitting next to a big music band manager, and he said, you know what, if the country shut down, and you know, there was only sort of hearsay at that point in time, he said, this is going to be great for our acts, because we're suddenly going to have our acts on the main stages. And then we saw that. We had the Comedy Gala the other night, slightly delayed, 20 acts, all New Zealand acts, on the main stage. You know, so, and suddenly those acts that might have been in an arts festival and they might have been on a main stage overseas, our acts, now they're on the main stages here. So actually I think it's given a huge boost to sort of local talent.
Yeah, and I would agree from the point of view that I really like TikTok and all of those. Yeah, I really like it. But what I like about it is that a lot of the new comedy is coming up through social media. So people that haven't actually performed live, which you can debate whether that's good or bad, but it's that democratization of being able to perform in any, as long as you've got a phone, you can perform. And I think a lot of the comedians actually went to other places, started doing podcasts. I mean, I know that everyone hates podcasts now, but anyway, and tried to get out to public to be able to perform in different ways. And they were forced to, basically. Yeah.
I had a friend in Melbourne who does a seated walking tour of Europe, and he did one of the sort of the versus Zoom performances that I saw, and it was incredible. You did feel as if you were absolutely live, because you could see, you know, for the first time you're in an audience of people and you're watching people in their lounge in Melbourne or wherever it may be. Yeah. And then of course there's one guy who's clearly watching it on his phone, holding it underneath his nostrils, and so you got a sense that you were live with all of these other people. And it just should have showed you that actually, you know, that being in one place at the same time, as phenomenal as that is, there are other ways of doing things. Yeah. So I found it really kind of enthusing.
Not for poor old Jennifer, who was in the loo at the time, though.
Not for poor old Jennifer.
Jennifer should know better.
Oh, she does now.
29 minutes to 12 it is. Stay with us very much. Appreciate your company, Irene Pink, to Radar, Sam Ackerman and Kennedy Warne. But of course, with us also this morning, and so special it is nota bene, if I can welcome back director Micah Christie-Beekman. What's the second of the morsels you have for us today?
Yes, we've got a lovely, beautiful tune called Balulalo, and it's actually written in 1567. And it's just a gorgeous lullaby, and I think the main theme there is how the love for baby Jesus, I will rock thee in my heart and sing for thee forevermore. And we've got the lovely Tina Carter singing the solo.
With Balulalo. I always think you could never outdo yourselves, and then you go and do that. That was absolutely sensational. Someone's having a Christmas right now. Sam Ackerman and Tauranga, have we got some special guests?
Yep, I did warn you, the invasion has come through. We've got Bo here, who's my oldest boy. He's come to say a quick hello. And say hi, Bo.
Hello.
Hi, Bo. Hello, this is Catherine and few hundred thousand other people listening to Happy Christmas to you, darling.
Thank you.
Thanks for
Merry
lending
Christmas, Catherine.
Oh, thank you. That's really, really kind. Thank you for lending us your dad for an hour on such a special day. We'll give him back really soon. And who else is there? Your little sister.
Yep, she's 8 months old.
She sounds very well behaved, Beau. Is she always like that?
She's feeding. It's much easier to be well-behaved when you're feeding.
Oh, bless. Bless. Hey, so special. Thanks very much. Thank you, Bo. We'll give your dad back soon, and you can get on with Christmas Day. Thank you, Sienna. Lovely to have you with
Catherine,
us.
Bo's Christmas joke.
What? Oh, Bo's got a Christmas joke.
Christmas joke. Yep. He made it up himself. What is it, Bo?
What do you get when Santa mixed with a bear?
Santa mixed with a bear. Can't guess it, Bo.
Santa Claus.
Oh, of course. I was thinking a dad bear.
Yeah, Sienna's not a fan.
No, Sienna thinks it's a great joke. Good one, Bo. Right? Good one. Bye-bye. Bye, darling. Have a good day.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
There he goes.
Okay, back to the Auckland studio. Has anyone got a better joke than that? I'd struggle to top that myself.
That was good. I think we found someone else for the Friday slots now. I just wanted to go back to that other kind of benefit of that rediscovery in a way that Kennedy was sort of talking about. That suddenly there's all these New Zealanders discovering New Zealand. You know, I've met people who've never been to the West Coast who suddenly went, well, I've... Must have gone to the West Coast, and they've come back and just gone, oh my goodness, why have I never been down there, or to the Catlins, or to Northland? And so that sort of there's this wonderful chance of both discovery and rediscovery within here. And yes, it's not the kind of numbers that probably a lot of the tourist people need or want, but I suspect there's people probably digging through old issues of New Zealand Geographic, Kennedy, stories that you've read about to go, what shall I do with my summer, you know, and go to places that they would never otherwise have gone to.
Irene, have you gone to parts of Auckland you haven't been to?
I went to Maraetai, Botany, out east Auckland. I've never been there. Yeah, it's beautiful out there.
Yeah.
But it's a long way, so I don't like to go a long way out of my Auckland for very long. I'm opposite of what you're saying. Yeah. I'd like to stay put, thank you, with the birds.
With the gannets.
No, we don't have gannets, do we? They're all down in Kidnapper's Cape.
We do. Yeah.
You can go to the Mirai gannets, all fine. No. Just go to Mission Bay and there's seagulls, and most people can't tell the difference.
Look them up online.
Kennedy, you've got a haiku, I believe, for us.
Oh, yeah. Basho, the Matsuo Basho, the famous haiku writer. Here's one that fits my aspirations. As the year concludes, wanderer's hat on my head, sandals on my feet. That's it. That's the haiku.
Beautiful.
That's the beauty of haiku.
You do have sandals on as well. They're Crocs.
Crocs. On
Crocs
feet.
Doesn't have enough syllables.
Crocs wouldn't have been good in that.
You'd have
that
to say Crocs on my feeties.
On my toesies.
On my toesies. Yeah.
Oh, way to destroy a beautiful
I know.
Haiku.
We've changed it, eh?
It's my forte.
It. I'm so sorry.
Segues in the destruction of classic poetry.
I had a haiku, but I can't say it.
Well, it's probably got a rude word in it.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Sorry.
Yeah. You could whip up a quick haiku radar.
Oh, no, it's not my forte.
No.
Is this part of it?
No, this is not.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, actually, no.
It's not my forte.
My wife is very good at haikus. She used to write professional haikus, but no, I'm no good at them. I just watch coups currently. I'm just watching this sort of... One of the great joys of this year was that moment where you suddenly went, wow, I wonder if it's the last time I've ever visited that country known as the United States of America. So I'm kind of more just watching faux coups, really. Watching that sort of unfold from a safe distance down here in beautiful New Zealand.
But that's what makes it great, though, America.
What?
All of the stuff that happens there.
Yeah.
Because the average American doesn't see any of that.
Yeah.
We think they do, but they don't.
No.
Your Midwester doesn't care what goes on.
No. And long-time listeners, well, no, I've been saying for years we've reached the end of comedy because nothing that we can come up with is as absurd as reality. And this year really cemented that, you know. And I was just reading quite a long-form article you say about, you know, that they went to the Four Seasons landscape and gardening. Like, literally, you cannot beat that. That is 2020.
Well, they just didn't even care as well. When it was pointed out that they got it wrong. Oh, well, yeah.
And the people at the landscape, they've made like $1 million.
They've
sold $1 million worth of merchandise.
We tried to get them on the show. It was my absolute goal to get them on the Christmas Eve show, and you just could not get through to them. They were just run off their feet. But they must have known that some numb fill in the rest of it had thought it was the Four Seasons Hotel, because they didn't say, no, actually, we're a landscaping company. They put out a little podium for them and everything.
Well, you would.
They were totally trolling them.
Brilliant.
It's genius. Absolute genius.
Oh, now, actually, if you have a look at some of the, Make America Rake Again. That's right. They've got all terrible puns on their merchandise. Yeah. Sam Ackerman, you're actually mid-season in the sporting profession. We're having a great cricket season, Sam. We've got to talk about the great cricket season we're having.
Yeah, and the Black Caps were in town. I was down playing beach cricket with them just yesterday, actually. Bo was facing Neil Wagner and giving him a few pointers along the way. So everyone's locked in the Boxing Day test down here. So everyone's pretty excited about it, and it is a joyous position to be in. Yep, there was a loss to Pakistan in the last set out, but look, the test is where it's at, and they're in a golden run right now. the New Zealand team. So they will be the highlight of the summer. We don't have the tennis coming to town to Auckland, unfortunately, this year, because we know why. It really does put that highlight and extra emphasis on what we're going to see. The cricketers, and thankfully, performing to a really high level. We've got the domestic Super Smash kicking off too. So it really does bring in the height of summer for me. It's the thing I love most about summer is that it is the time that people participate in sport and enjoy it. Because let's face it, if everybody likes playing football and rugby and league or whatever they play in the winter, it's miserable times throughout that when you're a participant sport player and you're going out playing on puddles of mud with rain flowing sideways in your face and you're going, yeah, and we're here. But in summer, it's you're out on the surfboards, down the beach, they're going for bike rides, they're doing whatever. It is, it's an awesome time of year to be into your sport.
Yeah. And also the old tennis ball, the old catching practice in the shallows with the tennis balls, when you do all your big dives, you know, your back dives, your front dives, your all sorts of dives, there's plenty of good cricket to be played on the beach, that's for sure. We're nearly there, team. So for Raids and for Irene and for Kennedy, we've crashed into Sam's Christmas. But like, you know, is it a quiet one this year? You've got your loved ones around just for a few quiets, or are you putting four birds together and tying them up for the, for the Christmas main?
That's what Raids is doing. Yeah. We're just having a quiet family one, but I like my family, so that's always good. Because I've been to Christmases where people don't like each other, and I'd never want to do that. So, yeah, just a dinner from Farrow's. We're going upmarket.
Good.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm going to sit at a dining table. I've got my first dining table. I'm 49. I'm finally an
How
adult.
How have you been eating?
Oh, sort of on the floor.
Oh my god!
Not off the floor. We finally got room for a dining table, so we're going to sit at a dining table. Look at the view.
Merry Christmas.
Eat a bird.
Quiet and local.
Yeah.
And walks in parks.
I might walk up my land and chop some gorse.
You live on a park, don't you?
I do.
Rides now.
Yeah. I'm going to come take care of some weeds and admire the bird life.
And the horses.
Yeah.
Kennedy, I love that piece you did earlier for us that was all about the nature that's right in your city, right in your backyard. It's not like we have to drive somewhere. Just having the time to go out and open your eyes, really. It's amazing.
Well, a real discovery for me this year was Smith's Bush, just bisected by the Northern Motorway at the Northcote turnoff. Just majestic in Puri and Kaikatea, and it's a place I now regularly take people for a quantum of solace. And those huge Puri, like islands in the sky with all of their perching plants, not to mention probably a plethora of insects, lizards and birds. Beautiful place to contemplate the world.
Hey, look, thank you all very much. Kennedy Warne, thanks also to our other guests in the Auckland studio, Irene Pink, and to Radar, and also to Sam Ackerman and family with us very kindly. From Tauranga. Thanks everyone for your company during this difficult and turbulent year for the country and the world. The generous giving of themselves, their time and energy by our guests has been especially appreciated, and so too is the efforts and cooperation of all our colleagues here at RNZ. A happy Christmas to you from everyone at 9 to noon. A restful holiday, and many thanks for people who will continue working through the holiday season. We're back on air January 25th, 2021. The team that brings you 9 to noon every day, my special thanks to executive producer Claire Serrani, producers Glenda Wakeham, Melanie Phipps, Vic Young, Joe Leavesley, Robert Kelly and Laura Dooney have helped us also during the year, and others as well. Thanks also to presenters Lynn Freeman and Philippa Tolley, and to all our colleagues right throughout RNZ. Thank you so much for everything that you've made possible this year. To our final carol now from Nota Bene, and I think they're going to leave us with the beautiful We Wish You a Merry Christmas. Thank you everyone for today. Have a lovely Christmas and a lovely restful holiday.
We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Now bring us some piggy pudding. Good tidings we bring to you and your king. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. All your naughty piggy pudding, so bring some good tidings. Good tidings to you and your king.
won't go until we want so. We won't go until we want so. And we won't go until we got so. So bring some out here. Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. A Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy
Thank you, Notabene. That was particularly special. Happy Christmas, safe travel, safe holidays, a peaceful, restful time together. We'll catch you back January 25th, 2021. Bring it on. Bye now.